Welcome to Comics,
episode 234. This week, we talk about
Gundam Build Fighters.
Visit us at welcometocomics.com. Listen to past episodes, see what we're reading next, send us a message, or find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Tumblr. This episode is supported by listeners like you. Go to patreon.com/welcometocomics.
And now, the cast begins.
I know, those assholes.
Hey, so what happened to you on the track with the BMW? I just saw that text again the other day.
Oh, no, I just actually caught it on video. There were these group of BMW drivers that were very douchey and acting like that on and off the track, and one of them almost crashed into another car.
Being a douchebag?
Yeah. Like, he needed to pass me, but he didn't do it in a safe manner and, like, almost crashed and took out another car.
That's great. Like, not only that dumb racing, these people are out there, like, in their personally owned vehicles trying to have a good day.
Yeah, exactly. And it's, like, it's not a race, right? It's just people trying to
drive around and have fun.
Exactly.
And you're going to go out there and be all broski about it.
And there's, like, plenty of bathrooms because Thunderhill has a nice facility. But these guys decided that they were too good to walk over to the bathroom. So they were just, like, turning. We were, like, backed up next to a hill. And I was parked next to them, unfortunately. And they were just, like, peeing. And I saw someone's penis. And it was
delightful.
It's not. It wasn't.
That must have made your day.
Beamer cock.
Ugh.
So how are you guys doing on your Gundams?
I've made no progress this week.
mine is... I'm doing the panel lining.
Ooh.
Man, the little and stuff on are such a pain in the ass to line.
Yeah, mine's also a pain in the butt because mine's not doesn't really have like traditional panels for panel lining, and also I don't know how to panel line. I got like a set of Gundam markers.
Oh, it's super easy.
Well, it comes with one that should be, but it's way too thick of a tip. So
that's what she said.
Yeah, just looking stuff up, and you can also do like you can get like those G2 pens, and sometimes that'll work. Just like any like nice pen will work.
So for that, another option, and you got to be careful because if your Gundam is light colored, it will show up more, is you can use War Machine or Warhammer washes. Dilute with water, wash over, and then wipe off like the flat surface with a paper towel. Although if you have a white Gundam, it can stain, but if you're doing weathering, it won't matter.
Yeah, and then staining is fine. That's part of what you're going for.
Why did you write Osan on the list of characters?
I don't remember who I was talking about for
that
one.
Who is that?
Oh, some old... I don't... The old guy.
You mean Mr. Rawl?
No.
Oh, yeah, he's weird. Rawl is weird old dude with
weird
a mustache.
Weird old dude with a mustache. Come on,
Mr.
You guys,
Rawl.
You guys don't understand my notes yet? Weird old dude with a mustache. Thank you.
He's based on a character from Universal Century.
Oh, there was an old guy in one of these episodes, and I don't remember.
It's Mr. Rawl.
No, there was another old guy. I don't remember who it was.
Do you mean the Shingyo Gunpla School guy?
No, but he was awesome. Anyway, so where are you at, Jen? Are you half built?
I have half of it primed, and yeah.
Oh, that's right. You're like painting it all.
I'm painting as I build it, so I haven't built the legs yet. I've built, like, the torso and head.
Did you I'm say going, I'll form the head when you...
I did not. I should have. I'm going out of town until next Wednesday, and I'm trying to catch up on work before I leave, so I don't know if I'll have it done before then.
Well, I mean, so the details, the other people who are doing this competition with us, the Super Sugoi cast people, they're not going to be done for a little bit, so I think what we'll do is we'll finish our Gundam series, and then when we're done, we'll put all of the pictures up on both of our Facebook pages in like another 3 weeks. So there's extended deadline, don't worry, and it'll give me time to figure out what panel lining is and how to not screw it up, and it'll give you time to finish, it'll give David time to finish.
Cool. I was like rushing lately.
That's good. I want you to rush because then I'll win.
Well, I opted out of painting mine because I thought we had a deadline.
Oh.
Well, I was going to paint mine, and then I couldn't...
Because I remember you told me you had like 3 Gundams that you were working on, and you wanted them to all have like the same paint scheme, so they looked like they were part of a squad.
But then I decided not to do that.
Okay. I don't know. I think that'd be pretty neat, but it's too late for me. I've already got 2 built. I mean, I guess you could take them apart, but then the things aren't numbered, so it's hard to remember where stuff's supposed to go. And
well, I still have a bunch of work to do. Like, I'm going to do a top coat and stuff.
Oh, yeah. I got some of that shit. I need to do that, too. I got to up my quality game. And I do want to do a customized one, especially after watching this. Like, you sent me some stuff about kit bashing, and that seemed cool. And then just seeing people's, like, customizations, I was like, man, that'd be pretty neat. But then I'm also thinking, like, do you have to buy, like, 3 or 4 kits? I don't know. I think I'm just going to buy that Psycho Zaku, the one with the shit ton of guns. Because it looks sick. Yeah. Anyway, I think we want to talk. We've, like, through our witty banter, started talking about the comic, like, or started talking about the anime, like, 3 times already. You want to just get into it?
Yeah, let's get into it.
This week's comic.
We watched the first 6 episodes of Gundam Build Fighters.
Yeah.
Which I think is actually the second thing in that, like, in set in that universe, because there's an OVA. But I've never seen the OVA.
Oh, and that's the first one?
Oh, it's called Mobile Suit Gunpla Builders Beginning G.
Okay.
And fantastic. Yeah, it was an OVA that was released in 2010 as part of the 30th anniversary of Gundam. And it's a, yeah, it's a 3-episode OVA. I've never seen it, so don't ask me any questions about it. And then the next part in this, like, in this universe, or timeline, as they refer to it in Gundam, is this show, Build Fighters. And then that's followed by Gundam Build Fighters Try, which, you know, if you finish watching Build Fighters, the show we just watched, Build Fighters Try is also on the Gundam Info YouTube channel. Yep.
And next week's thing is on the Unicorn OVA is also on Gundam.info. So all 3 of these that we're doing about the Gundams that we're building are all on the Gundam.info YouTube page, which is really cool.
Yeah, so I don't know if the YouTube channel belongs to Bandai or Sunrise. I think it's probably Sunrise. But it's not, obviously they don't have all the Gundam media up there, but there's a lot. And I think it's a good way for people to be able to get into it.
Yeah, because for a lot of people, it's either this or pirate it or watch it off of some reposting site. And it's like, just why don't you put it up on YouTube and get a little bit of money out of it instead of having the piracy just give you no money? And then piracy, you don't know the quality. It could be a bad experience. Like, at least with YouTube, you can control the quality of the experience. You can shove in an ad if you want to.
And this show kind of has, I mean, sometimes there's a YouTube ad in the middle, like a normal one. Mm-hmm. But then they also have their own commercials, which
build
are
Gunpla.
For, mm-hmm. for the Gunpla, which
makes
is perfect.
Sense.
For,
yeah.
That's what
yeah.
the show is about, so.
This show is a hype train for Gunpla.
What's cool about Gunpla, too, is, like, what I like about it is that it's kind of one of those things where you can go as deep as you want. Like there's a level where you can just like dip your toe into the world and just like snap the kit together and then you have a cool little model.
That's me.
Or you could go crazy and do like all kinds of custom stuff, like, and that's why it's cool that they have different levels of kit. Like for the contest, we're just doing high grade, which is the lowest level kit. But you can go all the way up to these like hundreds of dollar master grade kit. No, it's even higher than master grade, huh?
Yeah, because you can find master grade ones for like $40. Like
so, nice perfect ones. Grade. Perfect grade is the really crazy ones.
Yeah, those are the ones that are like 3 feet tall. When you go into Tatsuhabi, our local place that has Gunpla, man, they have one up front that's like 3 feet tall and it's fucking sick.
I think that's a 1/60th scale. So oh, the ones the high grades are 1/144th scale.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they're cool. At first, when I first built mine, I was super disappointed in it. So I had bought one and built it, and then I started building a second one to do for this competition, but I've decided I want to do a bunch of cool stuff with that one, so I'm going to put it on the shelf, and I went back to the one I first built. And now I'm like going back and doing finishing touches. And when I first did, I just cut it out and snapped it together. And I cut it out with shitty, instead of like model snips, you know, like the ones that are like flat, I did like just crappy little wire cutters. So I have all kinds of fucked up plastic edges on mine. Oh. So I'm going back over and fixing stuff and making it look nice. And dude, just taking the stickers off and actually painting. Oh my God. World of difference immediately. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. One thing I actually like a lot about the kit that I'm doing for the contest is it has two stickers total.
Nice.
And one is the eye.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
It makes it... Because I've done lots of high-grade kits. Actually, I've only ever done high-grade and SD kits. And looking back at some of my old ones, I never even used, like, snips to cut the pieces out. I would use, like, a hobby knife, like an X-Acto knife. But then I would never, like, really clean up the...
The edge.
Yeah, and so they just... They look like crap. But, you know, I realized when I was building them, I thought they were awesome, and I had a lot of fun. So, you know, no regrets.
Yeah. No, that phrase is offensive to Buddhists. The
YOLO?
Yeah. Buddhists and Hindus, it's very offensive.
Oh, right, because you... Yeah, okay. I see. Well, I mean, if you...
That's my immediate comeback for bros who like to say it. That's very offensive.
If you achieve enlightenment in your first life, then YOLO is
then after. You're good.
You never achieve in your first life. Hell no.
I don't know. I'm not a Buddhist or a Hindu. I don't know.
Nobody's ever born into being a human. You have to work up to that shit
for a long time. Is there any way to know what you were before?
Probably, like, there's some thing, but no. Basically, no. which is why you have... That's why you have to be nice to everything, because you don't know what you were or what you're going to be next. Fuck, how do we get there?
Well, I said YOLO.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, I've been like... It just escalated that quickly. I've been wanting to do... Since I've done a couple high grades now, I want to do one more high grade. I want to get the Psycho Zaku because it looks fucking sick, and there's not a master grade of it. But I'm like scrolling through Amazon and... Gundam World and Tatsuhabi, and there's some real grade ones. It's the same scale, it's just higher quality pieces.
Yeah.
And you have to take a little bit more time to make sure it's done right. But man, the difference in quality, even in the stage like pictures that are like the stock ones, it's so huge of a difference. And I can't wait to do one like that. I want to do a real grade, and then I kind of want to do a master grade, but it's going to be a little bit bigger, and I'm not sure, but I'd have to find a good master grade because those are like the $60 ones, but I'd be so hyped to do something like that.
Well, so I have a bunch of high grades that are unbuilt, and so I want to do some of those. And there's a model from Build Fighters Try that I want to build also.
Hmm.
And I'm gonna start. I'll do the master grade one because it's a certain character's. Gumpla, and I want to build all of his from, because he's in both shows, and I want to build all three of his.
Okay.
And so I'll do all those in high grade, and then I'll go from there.
All right. Oh, and I didn't even say at the top, the reason we watched Gundam Build Fighters is because one of us, since we're not saying what we're actually building, that way it's like double blind who you vote for on Facebook. We watched this one because one of us is building Zaku Amazing, which is the president dude. What's his name?
Yuki Tatsuya.
Yuki's Gundam is the Zaku Amazing, and it's so sick.
And he's a major character. Well, he's a major character in this, but then some of the characters carry over into the next show, and he's in Build Fighters Try as well.
Oh, nice.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't know. I love the design of Zaku Amazing. Like, instead of a beam sword or a laser sword, he has fucking meat cleavers, which is so baller. And extra close range.
Zakus don't actually have beam sabers. They have the axe.
Like axes, right. But he's just the idea of just doing like butcher cleavers is so much sicker. And then instead of a beam rifle or a bazooka or something, no, he's got two six shooters.
Well, he has a big rifle too.
Yeah, but the six shooter's like his go-to, and they're fucking awesome. And I like that they're not like beam guns either. When he's done his six shots, he has to empty it out.
That was such a good scene where he empties the, what's it called when it's not a clip? Like when it's a revolver.
No. I think it's a tray.
We're so good at it. You can tell we know a lot about guns.
I don't gun much.
Well, he empties it and it was awesome.
Yeah, so
revolver parts. Let me look it up.
Well, so since we started talking about Yuki, what do you think of him as a character? He's kind of, you know, he's called Yuki Senpai by some of the other characters.
Oh, it is a cylinder. You have to empty the cylinder.
That makes sense because it's cylinder shaped.
It's a cylinder.
But what do you guys think of Yuki Tatsuya?
I like him.
I really like the way that he's like. It's so stupid. But when he's in president mode, I like that people have to say, I'm here as school president, or I'm not here as school president. I'm here as modeling club president. He makes the differentiation, and it's kind of silly at first. And then you realize he kind of does that with himself and his life and his personality, because when he's walking around school, his hair is down. But then when it's time to Gundam battle, he pushes the hair up, and the instrumental guitar comes on, and it's all like romantic. Well, and
I don't remember.
He becomes a badass.
Yeah.
In episode 6, does he take his new name?
No.
Okay. He gets a. It's not really his name. It's more like he gets a title because he's such a badass. So in episode 6, we learned that he's taken an indefinite leave from school, and he goes to the PPSE, right?
Yeah.
To become their fighter in the world tournament. Right. We learned that. And maybe am I jumping ahead?
We don't learn. That happens.
Okay. Yeah.
He goes there, and they give him a test and stuff, and they say, you're definitely worthy, blah, blah, blah.
So
they don't say what he was doing there per se, but
they hint at it.
Yeah, so he becomes like their representative in the world tournament, and he gains a new title, and he's known as Meijin Kawaguchi. And so what Meijin is in Japanese, it's like, you know, the Japanese, I think it's the Japanese game Go, the like chess like game.
Okay.
You know what I'm talking about?
No. Nope. The little.
Okay, well, anyways, there's a Japanese. So, Meijin is like a chess grandmaster. So, he basically becomes the Gundam grandmaster.
That's so sick. I don't know. I really love the way that it's so stupid.
And so, he wears these. He ends up wearing these sunglasses all the time.
I really like him.
No, he's a cool character. And even though he's like a rival of Sei and Reiji, he really is more like a he's not really like a bad guy.
See, and that's what I really appreciate about him, is he's the rival, but he's not an antagonist. I think that's a good like delineation to make, because the dumb fucking kid who comes to Sei's shop just to bug the shit out of him, like, okay, you're either a shitty friend or a shitty person What the hell was that guy? The guy who had the Gyan Gya Gya gun.
Oh, that fucker.
That little fucking twerp, that's an antagonist. He's a dick.
He got what was coming to him, though.
Yes, twice he got what was coming to him. Like, that guy is an antagonist, and he's just, that's what we, in comic books, and like when we're reviewing stuff, we say he's the mustache-twirling villain. But Yuki is just, he's got his own thing, and it's really cool, and yes, you want Sei and Reiji to beat him, but you don't mind when he wins, because he's also cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. It works out really, really well.
This seems to kind of be like an anime trope where you have your main character and then there's always like the cool guy who's kind of at odds with the main character, but he offers like an alternative person to root for.
Yeah,
he's like he represents the place where our protagonist is trying to get.
And I like that he's in that place and he's not a dick. Like, I feel like in a lot of American shows that guy would be like trying to steal Sei's girlfriend from him or whatever. Like, mm-hmm. That guy, he would be the cool guy, but he would also, because he's the cool guy, be a little bit of a dick or a little bit of a douche. And Yuki, as cool as he is and as awesome as he knows he is, there's nothing about him that's douchey either. He's also, you're right, he's a clear alternative person to root for. There's no hesitation to root for him because he's just cool and awesome, and Zaku is baller as hell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's pretty cool.
Yeah, the other Gunpla fighter I like is Riccardo Fellini because
what's up with him?
He's the reigning Italian champion.
Yes, and he's okay. Awesome. And he hits on women by offering them Gunpla. In the cafe.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. My God.
The best part of that, by the way, was the YouTube comments. Like, people were talking about whether it worked, and some dude's like, hey, I'm going to try this. Wish me luck. And everyone's like, report back, man. And he's like, it worked. And I don't, you know, it's YouTube comments. You don't know if it's real, but I really want that to have happened.
So, I'm married. I can't try it. But I have a friend who just built a Zaku Amazing. Who's not a part of the podcast, and I'm going to tell him, well, no, because he's really attached to his Zaku Amazing. I'm going to buy him a shitty Gunpla to build, and I'll have him go to a cafe and try it. He'll do it. He's a good guy. He'll sacrifice his dignity for me.
The problem, though, is it, like, in this universe, everybody knows what Gunpla is. I feel like if you just handed a random woman a Gundam, she'd be like, there's like a chance she'd be like, oh, this is awesome, but there's also a good chance she would be like, what the fuck is this
fucking nerd.
Maybe she might act respond like Yuma's dad when Mao tries to pay with the Gunpla model.
Yeah.
What would be amazing is if she were just like, a Zaku is not a real Gundam.
That'd be sick. Then no, because that would work then.
And
that's
you
your
know,
in.
You found the one.
Yeah, that's your in. That works. It's 100% works.
Yes. This got weird.
Okay, so that's experiment number one. The other, but I have to say, that interaction was one of my favorite, but above all, my absolute favorite interaction in this whole 6-episode thing of Gundam Build Fighters was when Mr. Rala was talking to Reiji after Yuki stepped out of the tournament, and Reiji's just like walking through the mall or whatever and runs into Rall, and Reiji's like, it's so silly, it's so stupid, it's just Gunpla, like, it's not even anything, why are people getting so serious about it, isn't that dumb? And Rall's like, well, you should appreciate that people can take it seriously even though it's dumb, because we're in that kind of a state of peace and prosperity, like, you should appreciate that it's something that can be taken seriously. And I was like, man, that is such a great, like, that's a great immediate answer for all of those people in generations older than us that are, like, man-childs, or, like, all the people who say, like, our generation's not mature enough, not whatever enough, not anything enough. Like, appreciate the fact that we're coming from a generation that knows nothing but, well, that knows relative peace compared to all of the previous generations before us. Appreciate that we have the bandwidth to take dumb shit seriously, and it's okay.
And I think that's a particularly appropriate considering what Gundam is about most of the time. And that's, it's about war and, you know, what's cool about it too, in the way it like, kind of approaches war is, you know, you have a character that you follow who's your protagonist, but the side of the war that the protagonist's on isn't clearly the good guys. Because, I mean, like, thinking back to Universal Century, what the manga we read last week, you know, Zeon is at war with the Earth Federation, right?
Mm-hmm.
But Zeon's trying to gain its independence, which is, you know, that's kind of America's deal, is the, you know, they wanted their independence from England. And so are they, even though they're the antagonists against Amuro, are they the bad guys?
Yeah, I don't know. And I have to say, like, I've read more of that, and Char seems kind of awesome.
And it's interesting, if you look at other Gundam series like Gundam Wing, I keep promoting that one because I really think it's a good place for new people to discover Gundam. The heroes, like, I didn't realize this when I first watched that show, but in the intervening years, it's become clear to me that many people would see the heroes of Gundam Wing as terrorists.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And same thing with Gundam 00, which I have been watching recently, too. Those guys are kind of... They're pretty much terrorists, and they kind of... And the world government people kind of come out and say that. And so, you know, that's one thing I like about Gundam, is it doesn't romanticize conflict.
Hmm.
But anyways, yes, back to what you said about Rawl. That's totally it is a really good quote.
Well, yeah, I just had never thought of it that way. Like, the fact that we can take stupid things seriously and get serious about things that are literally completely trivial, that's a blessing. That says something about the achievement of our generation and the one before us, and it says something about where we are as humanity. Like, I mean, I know I'm blowing it up way more than I need to for a dumb little quote, but I was like, it didn't blow my mind, but I was like, oh yeah, that's fucking great. I love that. That's perfectly mm-hmm. well put.
Yeah.
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 So shit, yeah.
An interesting thing about Rawl, too, is that he is... I guess you could say... I don't know if he's a parody necessarily, but there's a character from... Mobile Suit Gundam, the original series, named Ramba Rawl, and he looks the same as Mr. Rawl here, and he also has the same mobile suit, except in...
Oh, well, yeah!
So you might have gotten to that part if you've been reading
the manga. Yeah, I read all the way up to, I think only on the app, the Comic Walker app that I've been reading on, up to section 19 is out now, and I've caught up to that, and I just got to Ramba Rawl and his goof.
Yeah, so it's they're the same character, pretty much.
Oh, yeah, they do look totally alike.
Yeah, well, they have the same name, too. They have the same name.
You know what, though? That leads to a chicken and egg thing a little bit. Like, did Mr. Rawl fashion his look after Ramba Rawl? And is his name really Rawl, or is that just what he goes by because he likes that character so much? Like, I would take it from a guy like Mr. Rawl. I would totally believe that he would make his look like Ramba Rawl just because.
Well, what's funny, too, is, like, there's all the guys at the bar that dress in the Zeon uniforms, and they refer to him as Lieutenant Rawl.
It's totally a Zeon bar. It's great. And other than it's a Zeon bar, they were all Zeon. and in comes Reiji with fucking... used to doing the Earth Federation Gundams.
And he beats them all with the ball.
Yeah, with the fucking ball. Oh, that was great. And then 200 games with Riccardo Fellini.
Yeah.
It's just a good name, Riccardo Fellini.
There's so many, like, you know, so far we've only met kind of like local people and Fellini, but when the world tournament starts in the show, there's so many, like, characters from all over the world.
Oh, I already like... I already like the first, like, open your eyes and see the world, say. I already liked Mao when he came and the school, like, yeah. The Gundam building school that he's from. And the fucking master yelling and spitting in his face about the heart of Gunpla.
See, that's why I love this show so much. It's like, it's so silly, you know? But it's not, like, I've watched Pokemon and, like, Yu-Gi-Oh! And those kinds of shows, and this reminds me of those kinds of shows in many ways, but I don't know what it is. This show does it better.
Yeah, it doesn't feel as pedantic, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know what I think it is? It's the show's delightful, and it's because it only asks one thing of the viewer, and it's that you have to accept that Gunpla battles are completely serious business.
Yeah.
But if you can get past that, like, it's actually really well done. I mean, like, they take the time to flesh out the characters, and I don't know. I think the show kind of goes by the thing that Rawl says, where it's really just the amount of enthusiasm that you bring to the table that makes something worthwhile. And the show is enthusiastic about itself, doubtlessly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you're totally right about the character development. Like, I know I keep going back to Riccardo Fellini because he has an awesome name, but when he shows up in that bar, I expect him to be one episode and done. Plays the 200 battles, done. But he shows up again. And then he shows up again. And you could easily just as well make him a throwaway character. But you've already made him. Why not continue building on him as a person? Bring him back in again and again. And, like, I like the show. He might become something later, but I like the show lets these characters snowball in a natural feeling way.
Yeah, he's in the show till the end, and he does have... He has... his character grows as the show goes on.
Yeah. And then I know we're going to see Mao again, and Tina. Tina's mm-hmm. awesome. I'm willing to bet we're not going to see... There's probably the people he's been defeating, like the stupid Gyan Gya Gya kid is probably done for.
Nope.
God damn it!
And his sister, his younger sister, is a major character in Buildfighter's Try.
Okay. What about Kirara, the Gunpla pop singer?
She stays. She's in the show.
See, that could easily be a one and done character.
But she also has character development, and she's tied very closely to Riccardo Fellini.
Really?
Yes.
Huh.
I'll just say it before the end of the show. They become romantically involved.
Bang, bang, bang.
Oh my.
But it's her as her her Gunpla pop idol is only, it's her job, basically. So when she's not being her Kirara, she's Miss Mihoshi.
Which I was about to say, I love the flashback that she gives. Little flashback monologue about how she had to, what she's like, I watched like 5 animes that I didn't understand. And spent hours building stupid plastic model kits. I was like, oh, you're great. Like, you really want to be a pop singer, but you need a niche. And even though you don't like it, you recognize that this could be a niche. So you're going to go for it. Like, on the one hand, you want to be like, okay, if you're going to do it, do something you're passionate about. But on the other hand, it's kind of like, well, you're biting the bullet. You obviously really want to be a pop singer.
Yeah.
It's like there's, you could... It could go either way about whether or not you think it's funny or something she should be doing, but it's it's to her credit as a character at the very least for the show. It's a joke and it's silly, but it's
just a thing. Like, about her, when she comes up and she starts like kind of hitting on Iori,
yeah,
like he's got to be, I don't know, 12. I think she's in her late 20s.
Yeah.
Did no light bulb, like, go off in his head? Or is he cougar hunting? What's happening here?
Well, I don't think he got that. I don't think he picked up on that she was hitting on him. I think he was just excited to be talking about Gunpla.
Yeah. Well, because then when it all fell apart, and that's basically what he told Gina, like, I just... really got to talk and hang out with somebody over Gunpla. Of course I'm going to do that.
Exactly. Poor kid.
Which, ooh, love triangle, love intrigue.
My first thought was like, oh god, they just can't make anime without a harem, can they?
Nope. even for a nerd, like, say.
In this show, like, a lot of the female characters are cool and kind of badass in their own right. You know, like, China, for example, could easily just be, like, a hanger-on to Sei.
Yeah.
But she is good. She has her own hobby. Like, she's an accomplished artist, right? That's only covered a little bit in the episodes we've watched so far. But she has character growth, too, that intertwines with Gunpla, but is not about Gunpla, necessarily.
Oh, good.
Interesting.
And she comes back in Build Fighters Try also.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
cool.
So Build Fighters Try takes place 7 years after this series.
Does she help Sei with his full package Gundam?
They're in middle school, Andy.
Oh, my God. I could not stop giggling over full package.
Andy.
What? Come on.
They're kids.
I know.
In Andy's defense, he's not the only one.
I know. You. I just want to give Andy a hard time and make him feel like a creeper.
Oh, you don't have to do anything to make me feel that. I know plenty well that I am a super creeper. She knows. Everybody knows I'm a creeper. It's no secret.
I remember there was a point in time where you would just add that hashtag.
Yes. Creeper, creepin'.
Or like, I'm creepy.
Yes, that's what it was. I am creepy. Oh, I forgot that was what it was. Yes. I need to bring that back.
Anyways.
Yeah, the build strike. Full package.
We went way off topic there.
Whatever. It's fine. It's a fun show. I feel like we can have a fun show.
Did you guys have a favorite character? Is yours Ricardo Fellini, Andy?
No, actually, I'm pretty sure it's Yuke Senpai.
Okay.
Just for no other reason than he flips up his hair when a Gundam battle starts and the acoustic guitar comes on. Romantic.
Actually, I wanted to make sure that I was giving his title correctly. He's actually Meijin Kawaguchi III.
Okay, so he's okay.
Because he inherits the title. He apparently inherits the title from somebody else. The previous Meijin Kawaguchi. It's very serious business.
Yeah. Did anybody else have a different one, or do we all love Yuki Senpai?
It's definitely Yuki for me. Although, I feel like the old guy, Mr. Rull, is a runner-up just because he appears in places he shouldn't to share his love of Gundam. Yeah. And by that, I mean, like, he randomly shows up in a school. And then he shows up in the main character's bedroom, of all places.
Yes.
How did he get in there? Why is he there? Why did the mom think it's a good idea to let him in? I mean, this man is so passionate about Gundam, he completely is able to ignore, like, all social norms in order to come over and talk about them.
Yeah. The unbridled enthusiasm over Gunpla gets him everywhere.
He doesn't go away, too. He's in the next series.
Thank God. What about you, David?
My favorite is Mr. Rawl, for sure.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Jen described him really well, like that he can just show up places. And everybody, like, respects him, except for the time when he's in the school watching Gonda and Reiji fight. And Chino's like, who is this guy? What's cool is like that, like, it's, I think it's really great that people in the show recognize that he's kind of a weirdo. But yeah, I really like his character. He's fun.
You know, Jen, you also mentioned the mom. And I want to say, the mom is the main reason I had a difficult time pinning down what... hashtag I'm creepy. What age range this show was for? Because at a certain point, I lost count of the number of, like, fan servicey boob jiggles she got while we're, like, popping up from behind the cash register. Because there would be times I was like, okay, this is kind of a kid's show. You know, there's no real violence. The characters are all kids. There's not a whole lot of complex themes here. This is definitely a show for younger-ish people. But then, like, just the number of, like, obligatory fan servicey jiggling going on with the mother. I don't know.
It's all ages, man.
It's anime.
Yeah, apparently.
It's an anime trope.
This is an anime thing.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah, I know. It wasn't super bad, but it was like, really, this much for a 12-year-old's mother? And then, like, the number of times, I think once or twice, it was kind of implied that she's, like, she's crushing on Reiji a little bit, which is super weird, too.
No, she's, I think you're
going to. Okay.
Mr. Rawl definitely crushes on her.
Yes, that is for certain. Yeah.
I will say, it is kind of weird how she is so enthusiastic about Sei and Chyna. Like,
there was one scene, Sei was like, I just have one question, what are you doing in my room, Mom? And he turns around and she's sitting there with these, like, weird eyes. Super fucking creepy.
Yeah, she's, like, doing the whole, like, oh, I'm gonna be a grandma thing, and he's, like, 12? So.
Yes. She really likes, Chyna.
Yeah. And she's excited.
we didn't talk about Sei's dad at all.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we don't really know much about... I know what his deal is, because
I've in the notes, Jen put, please, please, please tell me that the big reveal later is that Sei's dad died in a Gunpla building accident.
Wouldn't that have been, like, the worst/greatest thing ever?
And then I put in, no, a Plovsky particle accident. Like, an errant particle animated his arm in the wrong way and he killed himself or something stupid.
This is not, Andy, this is not Full Metal Alchemist. Okay?
Oh, man.
The Plovsky particles transmuted him.
Well, you do, by the end of the show, you do find out where his dad is and that kind of thing.
Ooh, where his dad is, not how he died.
Yeah, he's not dead.
Dun, dun, dun.
I really want to tell you guys what he is.
No, because I'm going to watch this.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I don't want to ruin it for you.
Even today, I was at work, and I was like, okay, I have something. I can have something on in the background while I'm doing it. Just, like, fill out a form, look up, read, look back down. Like, okay, I'm going to put on episode 7. And I was like, no. I don't want to lose track of where we are for recording. But, like, I'm like, chomping at the bit to finish this. Because then also, in 2 more weeks, we're going to do Gundam Build Fighters Try for another one of our Gundams. So, like, I want to watch all of it. I want to know it all.
All right, then. So, I won't say anything.
Don't let it slip.
I won't say anything other than that he's not dead.
Yeah, okay.
So he's fine. Just a deadbeat.
Which is basically kind of dead.
No comment.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
So what is because, like, Jen said, please, please let the big reveal be that he died. I think that the actual reveal is better than that.
Fantastic. So what do we think of the main characters, Sei and Reiji?
Is Reiji an alien?
Basically.
Yeah, oh, that's what I'm getting.
Okay. Although I think he's from, like, a parallel universe or something. It's not really it's not clear. He's from some place called Arion.
I see.
Yeah. Well, he kind of mentions it. He kind of drops the name, but then it comes up later in it. It is a plot point later in the show.
Yeah, basically his little backstory that he gives to Sei is accurate.
Yeah, it's 100% accurate, but no one believes him, and he's so nonchalant about it that it. I think when I watched the show initially, it kind of makes you think like that he is bullshitting, but then, you know. He's like, oh yeah, it's no big deal. Right. I'm just from another dimension or whatever. But yeah, anyways.
Okay.
Watch it.
And then Sei, I really appreciated his unabashed enthusiasm. I like when somebody brings in a Gundam or asks about one or points at one in the shop, he kind of starts talking about it. And then speech starts to speed up a little bit more. And then he starts giving more explanation about more backstory and other things. And it was in this show and that show. And it was this part of this storyline. And just, like, his eyes go starry. And he just, like, goes off. Man, I love that. That's, like, 100% accurate. Like, David telling me about a comic he read, or me telling somebody about some stupid sci-fi show my wife and I started watching. Like, that's 100% accurate for what people like us are like.
Yeah, definitely.
And that those little moments, I was like, okay, Say is the protagonist because I am Say. Got it. Done.
Yep.
All right, then. I don't know. I don't really have a whole lot else to say. This thing was just... It was a really, really fun show.
So why don't we rate it, then?
Sure, you can go first.
All right, I'm going to give this a 5 because I fucking love this show. It's so cool, and even if you don't like... Even if you're not a Gundam fan, or you've never watched Gundam before... I know in the last episode and earlier in this one I said that Gundam Wing was a good starting point. I think this is too. This show is a good introduction to Gundam. Yeah. So
all right,
5.
Then. All right. I'm going to give this. I'm going to give this a 4.
I mean, you can do that if you want. Just know that you're wrong.
Yeah, so. I know. That's why I know. I'm giving it a 4. Probably because I haven't watched more of it. I'm willing to bet a lot of stuff I've seen I will appreciate more having seen more of it. The only thing I kind of have a little bit of hesitation about is saying that this is a good introduction to Gunpla, or Gundam building, or Gundam shows. I should say Gundam shows. Because my wife would not watch this. It feels like, when I was talking about how it's hard to pin down what the age range is for this, in some ways, it's a plus, but in other ways, it's kind of a negative because it's kind of silly, and you have to have a certain audience to enjoy this without knowing what Gundams are, or not being into Gundams or Gundam a little bit, or into this kind of culture. I don't know. I couldn't just cold drop this on somebody, which, okay, that's probably not fair, but that's the only criticism I can think to give, because otherwise, this is really pretty good, and I'm giving it a 4, a lot to Jen's point that she said earlier about how every character has a little bit of development. And it's true. They're background characters and characters that could only show up once for 5 minutes that end up coming up again and again. And it just makes for a way more interesting story and a way more interesting show. So yeah, 4. Jen?
Yeah, I think a 4 as well. I really enjoyed this, but I also do understand that I think it takes a certain kind of buy-in to the basic premise that is not for everybody. Like, I thought about having my boyfriend watch this with me, because we watch a lot of anime together, a lot. And, you know, after watching one episode, I realized that you have to be in a certain, I think, kind of mindset to latch onto the enthusiasm. But I do think that for... you know, how it carries out what it does, like the character development, the story. Like, if you can get into it, it's really good. I will say that I think that if you wanted, like, a good intro to Gundam as, like, a solid anime, maybe Endless Waltz would be better. But that doesn't mean that there's anything wrong with this in any way. So, yeah, 4.
Yeah, and I will say this show was wildly successful at what it was trying to do, because after every single episode that I watched, I hopped online and did a little bit of Gundam searching. I did a little bit of shopping for Gunpla after every single episode. So it is 100% successful at the propaganda it's trying to spew. All right, you guys ready for Fight Night?
Yeah.
This week, just like every week, Fight Night is brought to you by Patreon. Go to patreon.com/welcometocomics and become a patron today. If you go and become a patron, not only will you have our everlasting love, you can do all kinds of cool stuff to be part of the show. You can put in a request for a comic for us to read. You can put in a request for a Fight Night trivia or quote topic of anything you want. And just generally have a direct line to chat with us and ask us anything and do whatever request you want to do. So go on there, become a patron today. Become a patron today. Go to patreon.com/welcometocomics. And thank you to all of our current patrons. Y'all are awesome.
Fight Night, Round 1.
This week's Fight Night, The topic of the day is best fake particle, substance, mineral, etc. Just the a fake malleable thing, if that's any kind of... I'm thinking whiffs. Ones that would definitely lose this competition would be unobtainium or midichlorians.
Damn, I was going to go with midichlorians.
That would not get my vote. I'm just going to let you know right away. So the way Fight Net works, each one of us will have 2 minutes or less to answer the question of what you think is the best particle, substance, mineral, whatever. And then after we all give our arguments, we will vote on somebody other than ourselves for the best. And whoever gets the most wins. And if we all get a point, everybody wins. So, Jen, why don't you go first this week?
Okay, so I vote, I argue for Minovsky particles. And these are the particles that exist in the Gundam universe that basically allow the Gundams to do their thing. This is different than the Plavsky particles in that it doesn't just control plastic. It's like how the beam sabers are made. It's how they do shields. And the cool thing about these is that... in the universe, Gundams are built and necessitated because of Minovsky particles, because the author's idea is that you have a problem when all of your fighting is done, like with long-range missiles. So he created a particle in which the most, like, efficient mode of combat is in bipedal robots. So... he made a universe that necessitated Gundams because of these fake particles, rather than Gundams necessitating the existence of the Minovsky particles. And the entire basis of being or having Gundam, I think, is a good reason that they are the very best.
Round two.
Well, I'm going to go with vibranium from the Marvel Universe, because it's what Captain America's shield is made out of. It's one of the things that allows Captain America to be such a complete badass, because his shield is able to absorb the energy of the vibrational energy of things crashing into it. Look, it's practically indestructible. There's some instances where his shield gets damaged in the comics, but for the most part, it's completely invulnerable. Imagine if a Gundam was made out of vibranium. I think it would just make them so much better. And, you know, they just have to go to Wakanda and get some. So vibranium is what makes Captain America great, among other things. But mostly it's the shield and the vibranium. And if everything was made out of vibranium, the world would just be a better place, is what I'm trying to say.
Round three.
I'm going to roll with tachyon particles from the Star Trek universe. Because not only are they theoretically real, which means they could exist if we could only prove it, they enable space-time that can be routed through the deflector dish for any number of purposes that you can pull out of your ass. They are the foundation of almost every kind of Trekno-babble that exists. And much to the point that I would say Trekno-babble permeates our societal infrastructure in the way that we bullshit. I use Trekno-babble social media to dazzle my boss, who has no idea what the fuck's going on. I bet you I could go into work tomorrow and drop tachyon something in my conversation at work. Nobody would blink an eye. Tachyon particles, because they might as well be real, which almost makes them not fake. Definitely the best fake.
Okay, then. Thank you, Andy.
All right, so let's do the voting. Jen, what do you got?
I got to vote for David because he said, imagine a Gundam made of vibranium, and then I did, and that was a good enough argument for me.
All right. David?
I'm going to go with the Minovsky particles. I'm sorry, Andy. I feel like you just picked tachyons because you could talk about it well.
Because tachyons are fucking awesome.
The reason why I like Minovsky particles better is I feel like... I think the strength of tachyons is that they can be used kind of for anything, but that's also the weakness, is they're very much like a deus ex machina in the Star Trek world. It's like, why don't we just make a tachyon beam through the deflector dish and we'll defeat this whatever in space.
Yes! David, you came so close to what I would have voted for, but you didn't say Uru, like what Mjolnir's made out of, which is totally would have won my vote. But instead, I'm going to go with Minkowski particles, because Jen's explanation of the particle created the universe in which Gundams made sense. I love the egg before the chicken. Like, that's how evolution works, and so it makes sense, and yes. Like, build the universe, and then let the technology and the story emerge from the universe naturally, and boom, Minkowski particles. Point for Jen.
Winner. Jen!
Woo!
Yay.
So, after week two of this round of trivia, David's got a point, Jen's got a point, and I got nothing.
Oh,
next week. Next week, I will come up with something ludicrous enough to win. Next week. Speaking of next week, next week we're going to watch Mobile Suit Gundam Unicorn, the OVA. It's only 7 episodes. We're going to watch all 7. There was a show with unicorns. One of us has built the Banshee Norn, which is in a couple different Gundam shows. But the one specifically that got built is the Banshee Norn Destroy Mode, which shows up in the Gundam Unicorn OVA. So we're going to watch all 7 of that bad boy, and we're going to see how that Banshee Norn becomes Destroy Mode.
Snap. It's not even its final form. Or maybe it is.
I have no idea.
I have to watch to find out.
I have no idea. See, but now if I would have known the name, I would have totally built the full package and repainted it like flesh tones.
You can. You can build more Gunpla.
I should buy it and repaint it flesh tones.
You can gross. Build a flesh tone package if you want.
Oh, man. I was at Target. This has nothing to do with Gundam. but it has to do with flesh, kind of. I was at Target the other day, and they have Halloween costumes now. And they have, like, a muscle suit. It's like a suit. You know, it's like a body stocking, but it looks like bare muscle instead of, you know, so there's no skin over it. And I was like, dude, you could totally be the Colossal Titan.
Ooh, yeah.
I'm sorry. You know, because we're talking about anime and anyways. Yeah. Until next week.
Yes, next week, Banshee Norn Destroy Mode in Mobile Suit Gundam Unicorn, the OVA. If you want to know where to watch that, go to welcometocomics.com. On the left, click on Future Shows. It should be right up near the top. There's a little link that says YouTube. Click on it. It takes you straight to the playlist of all 7 episodes. You can watch online for free on YouTube with subs and everything. It's baller as shit. Thank you, Sun. Who's the people who make this?
Sunrise.
Thank you, Sunrise, because that's awesome of you. So, that's next week. Banshee Norn Destroy Mode, Mobile Suit Gundam Unicorn OVA. Until then, everybody, goodbye.
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 Until then, everybody, goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Listen for the full package coming soon.
That was me dropping my full package on the table.
Great.
I couldn't help that. I'm so sorry. You guys are friends with me.
Me too.
I feel like I deserve it. I only ever support this behavior, so I'm also to blame.
You deserve more blame than David, because David was friends with me. And then, like, fell into my idiocy. I sort of just cold asked you, like, hey, you want to join the podcast? And you were like, yes. I gave you a yes-no opportunity, and you said yes.
Yeah. I'm to blame for my predicament here.
Totally your own fault. That said, I'm very happy you did.